Hey to the movie show fans.
Hey! I think the other two did it better than us. It's okay. I'm Sash.
My name's Ryan.
Timothy Saul.
Timothy, not Chalamet. I know. Chalamet. You were like, oh my gosh. Thank God.
That's Tim.
We went one up and got Timothy Saul on the movie show. Well,
yeah, I'll give you autographs after.
He'll sign the camera.
Yeah. Oh, that would be big vibes.
Then us afterwards tries to clean the camera. Like, damn it, why did we let him sign it with a permanent marker?
Signed it in green.
Then every movie show from now on has Timothy Saul's autograph on the lens.
Levels.
Someone's going to get that idea.
So welcome to the movie show.
Thank you.
We thought we'd have another interview.
Good to have you back.
Yes.
Yeah,
It's been long.
It's been long.
Years. Yeah. Literally.
At this point, they bring up, the movie shows we used to.
Where Tim and Ryan would gang up on me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We should have done it again.
Yeah.
Oh, saddest. We missed our opportunity. Otherwise, we just keep talking here and then just, you know.
Coming to you, the next movie show, March. There you go.
Wow. Yeah, so we are going to just start off with some questions and find out who Tim is, what Tim is, why Tim is, when Tim is.
Yes. And
how?
What?
And how?
And what?
And how Tim is. Okay. How are you, Tim?
Oh, damn. I'm doing well. Yeah.
First question.
great intro into that. Chilled vibes. It's a rainy Monday.
It is.
Don't love the rain, but glad it's raining. Yeah. Big vibes.
All right. So then, first question to you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Roll the drum, please.
I'm not going to do a drum roll. I'm not going to do it.
Tim.
Oh.
What?
Like a little
What do you do?
Oh, I am a theater practitioner, mainly directing, choreography. Yeah.
Nice.
All of that stuff.
I did not know that was a term. Theater practitioner.
Oh, it's like the hoity-toity.
I also want to be a practitioner. Yeah. I'm changing. I'm a podcast practitioner.
And film practitioner.
And film.
And church practitioner.
And clothing practitioner.
And, yeah, there we go.
Sure.
You may call me Dr. Sash from now. No, I'm joking. Yeah.
But yeah, that's me. Cool. Just did a couple shows last year, which was very cool.
I went to one of them, actually.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Yes. It was terrible.
Wasn't my best showing.
I'm joking. It was very good. It was very... I thoroughly enjoyed it. In fact, I went with someone and they don't... How long is it? Like...
Yeah, we did 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's generally like the first act of a play and they finished the first act and she was like, why are we stopping? Like, I want to see the... I was like, I know, right?
But the full thing is like 3 hours.
Yeah,
so
no, he did Les Mis.
Yeah.
Les Mis.
Yeah.
If I pronounce that, I probably didn't pronounce it.
I actually had to look up the pronunciation. I think it's Les Miserables or Les Miserables.
You know, something. We have a Frenchman in our. Come here, Frenchman. Quickly, run.
Frenchman.
Run.
It's you.
Run. Okay, we have two. Pronounce it.
Les Miserables.
Oh, there we go.
Gee-ba-boo. I'm going to say
I should have gotten that for my poster.
I don't even want to try
that. I'm
going to
say that they're just going to put his voice over it.
Yeah. There we go.
That's it. There we go.
Put him in the credits, you know.
French, the Frenchman. Yeah. The French guy. That's nice. The French. There's actually an Instagram account called The French Guy, and then he does tours of Paris. Anyway, moving right along. Second question. If you could work with any director, I think I know the answer to this. Who would it be and why?
Film or theater? Both?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure. Theater? I'd probably go... It wouldn't be like technically his directorship that I'd want to work with, but William Kentridge. He does amazing work, and I feel like the Center for the Less Good Idea, which is in Maboneng, shout out, is very cool. So I'd definitely do that. If it was film, David Fincher.
Oh, really?
What did you think I would say?
I thought you were going to say Nolan.
Okay.
Oh, no. I mean... Nolan's cool, but Fincher, guys.
Yeah, David Fincher is very cool.
Although I heard a story about David Fincher the other day where apparently he walks around set like a shark and like just waddles around. And then he just tells him to keep doing shots. And then eventually, after like 57 shots, he'll be like, all right, keep that one, delete the rest. And that's it. Like
Delete the rest?
Yeah. He gets it down until he gets it down.
Editor must love him.
Yeah, probably.
Because then you actually have one. Yeah, the actors and everyone else. What if you delete the wrong, like you delete...
Yo, someone's getting fired. Then they have to do a whole another day of filming.
Just to get that one. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Next question for you. So, what is your worst film and why?
Oh.
I bet it's a rom-com.
Wait, I actually do remember this.
You do remember this?
Yeah.
It was a traumatic experience.
It was a horrible
movie. We are
movie.
Taking his him back
you
to
You actually watched the whole thing.
No, here's the thing. I was amazed by how bad it was. That's how bad it was. Like, the levels to that horrible game.
Wait, was it so bad that you still...
I finished it. I finished it.
Oh, really?
I was like, there's no way. I have to, like... but I cannot actually remember the movie now.
That's crazy. Who was in it? You don't know?
No. It was just scarring. But you know what is that bad one? They did that parody of it where the guy's like... Whatever. He's like, I won't do it. I will not. Oh, hi, Mark. And then you've seen that, right? I think the guy, dude from Spider-Man, you know, the Green Goblin kid, dude who became Green Goblin. OG. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Willem Dafoe?
No, not him.
Not him.
The son.
Oh. Yes.
James Franco.
James Franco. Nice.
James
job.
Franco nice. And the boys did a spin-off of, like, you can Google it. It's called The Worst Film.
Really?
Something. It's horrible. Like, the dialogue, the guy goes in to buy a bouquet of flowers, and then he, like, doesn't wait for the lady to ask, like, to tell him how much it is. He just puts the money down, and then he's like, thank you, just grabs the flowers while she's still talking and just walks out. It's atrocious. But that was a fun watch. It was very comedic. Yeah. But damn, I can't remember that other one.
Maybe it will, like, come to you halfway through.
Maybe tell me your worst one, and then I might remember.
Worst film.
These are your questions, by the way, which are taking so long to do.
This one was just, it was a very bad movie. There was a movie, I can't remember the full title, but it was something like the something of the killer tomatoes. And the whole premise of this film was, it was a horror film, but the whole premise was there were these tomatoes that... So stupid.
Really? Wow.
And then this chick looked in the sink in one of the scenes, and there's a tomato, and she's like, ah! Yeah, it was very dumb. It was a very stupid movie. In fact, I think George Clooney was in it. Yeah, George Clooney was in it. Yeah.
Probably a young, like a really young.
Very young George Clooney. Right. And then at one point, they were even like, oh, guys, we ran out of funds for the film. And they're like, oh, but if we do this Coke commercial then, or whatever, I can't remember what cold drink it was, then we'll be able to continue doing the film. Then they turn around, Coke, for the people that love drinking, and like do like a commercial in mid-film, and then they continue.
That's genius. We should do that midway through this as well. But like, we can't continue. We don't have the funding.
But.
Apple.
No, we're not going to promote Apple.
No, it's not. They won't pay us.
What's been your most challenging but rewarding role?
Ooh, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a play called Hello and Goodbye by Ethel Fugard. It's basically about this brother and sister, and the brother stays home alone looking after the dad. Sister comes back to visit after a whole bunch of years. She might have been a prostie at some point, like it's a little vague, but essentially she's coming back for money that she thinks was hidden somewhere in the house. But... Should I plot twist it? Should I like... Okay, I'll expose the plot twist. Anyway, turns out that the dad died a while back and the son is now just looking after like an imaginary...
Oh, hectic.
Because his whole purpose in life was looking after this dad. Sure. And now the dad's gone, so he's replaced his purpose by like... Yeah.
That's
and cool. I loved that. That was my favorite guy. I was like this very weird, like slightly autistic kid. And I was like sitting there like constantly rocking or like fixating on something. And then I'd randomly in mid-conversation just tell my co-actor to shush. And then I'd go and like check on the dad.
Yeah.
And then come back and pretend like I'd actually seen him. It was freaky, but it was so cool. Yeah. That was amazing.
Those freaky roles are fun.
Yeah, that one. And the nice thing was the embodying of it. Like I even added he had this shoulder slump that kind of came into play. And as soon as you did it, you could just feel the character. You were like there, and it was very cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, very weird, but go check it out. Great play.
I think that would be nice to see.
Yeah.
I like plot twists.
Yeah.
But sorry, I gave it away now.
Because they're super like...
We should have given them a spoiler warning. They can skip ahead 10 seconds, you know?
If you don't want to know what happened...
It's too late. We already told you.
Sorry.
All right, next question. So what specific acting techniques or methodologies have you found most effective in your training?
I mean, there's a couple. Firstly, embodying the character helps. So finding their walk, finding... And then just going a little bit extreme with it. Obviously, with theater, you can't be like normal and the camera picks up everything. Theater doesn't. So it's often nice to take, like I said, the shoulder thing. I would normally just have a little shoulder problem, but like I took it all the way down until the point where it was like too extreme. And then that informed the character and made it bigger. Other things are sometimes cool to associate the character with an animal and then finding like these animalistic traits, which then pull it through. I hate accents. Hate accents.
Really?
Like, don't give me accents. I can't find the voice. It annoys the life out of me. But yeah, costume also really helps. There's something about arriving at the end, putting the costume on and the costume making you become the character. Mm. Yeah, that does something very cool. So yeah, those are tips 101.
That's
yeah.
Very cool. I like the costume one.
Yeah.
The costume one, yeah. Yeah. Okay, next one. What is the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you on stage or during an audition?
Oh, damn.
Sorry, like, this is a very traumatic show for Tim. Like, we're taking him back to...
No, I don't actually know if I have any. Already? That's why I'm thinking. Look at me, I'm perfect on stage. Guys, what do you mean? No. I think once or twice I've, like, blanked on lines. Mm. And the problem is time moves slower when you're on stage, so you can feel every excruciating second you're just standing there and doing nothing. And you're like, damn it, come to me. And then you ad-lib something. And then you're like...
Afterwards you're like...
Because then you skip like two or three lines ahead already. But that's about it. I don't think I've actually...
Did you have any actors or other actors on stage at the same time?
Oh, yeah, I did. And
so
they just kept staring. Here's the thing. They said their line, so they can't just keep talking. Yeah. Like, they've said their line, they're stopped.
They're
the audience
knows. They
passed
the ball to you now.
Yeah. They know. It's like you guys being like, so, how's your day been?
And but I'm isn't like, it cool? Like, wouldn't it be cool for them just to, like, throw a little nudge?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes they
weren't
can.
Weren't you going to tell me about
it? But sometimes it's like, there's nothing else for them to say.
Yeah.
And especially if their character's not very verbal. So, like, my character in that play, I said, like, very short lines. And then if I missed a cue, their thing was screwed because I literally say what I say and then they're supposed to respond to it. So it's that was rough. But I love it, you know, because it keeps things interesting. You know? Yeah.
That's cool though.
Sheesh, yeah. Big vibes.
All right, next question. What's one cliche movie scene you wish you could experience in real life?
Ooh. I don't know why my mind immediately went to romance. That's awkward.
Because you think that romance
like,
is cliche.
I do. But I'd probably go... Wait, experience like I actually experienced that or I experience acting that?
No, actually. You actually experience it. Like it happens in real life.
I'd go with the romance thing. You know, like the typical like bump into the girl... And do
she
the
drops
like,
books.
Oh, not that one.
Oh, okay.
Not that one, but like the eye contact, and then the like, I don't know, any romance like beginning ever, you know, basically.
What do they call it? The meet cute.
Yeah. Or to experience like you know in the sports field in 22 Drum Street when he drops a sandwich and the other dude drops the like to be that dumb, and drop a sandwich and have a meet cute like. Yeah, that would be dumb. That would be big vibes.
Nice. All right, next up. If you had, this one's interesting. If you had an unlimited budget for a movie, right? Ooh. But you can only cast your friends. What kind of film would you make? This is a kind of unfair though, because he has a lot of like actor friends.
I do.
But anyway, it's fine.
I do.
Try and not include
it's a good
actors.
Question though.
Yeah.
I'd probably then go... with very few characters.
Really?
I'd probably do something similar to Locke. I'd probably do a whole bunch of voice recordings.
That's clever.
And then film it in somewhere that's super overpricey. Like...
Ryan, have you watched Locke? Yes,
Tom
you have.
Hardy? Yes.
Tom Hardy movie
driving.
By himself. We did it actually.
And there's a whole bunch
show.
Of phone calls.
Oh, yes,
that's
yes.
Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Great movie. Now, I think that was originally a play, which is
funny
why I'm
enough. Can I just tell you something funny, right? So Tim was like, "Oh, you must watch Locke." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." So I go and watch Locke. And I'm like, "Tim, I watched Locke." And he's like, "Oh, I haven't watched it." I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
So you told me to watch a movie that you yeah. So.
But that's only happened once. I generally recommend stuff.
I was just like, okay, cool. So like overpriced.
But I was glad I watched it.
Yeah, no, it was very good. Very, very good. If you
haven't watched it. And I'd probably get Amir to act. Yeah. Yeah. For those who don't know, he's just my mate. But yes.
Yeah.
He'll be famous one day, maybe.
So what are you spending money on? Location?
A super cool car.
Okay, nice.
Lots of location. And then I do like, you know how they book out highways and they have those lights all along the way. I think Chris Nolan's done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd literally just do that. Spend $1 million on like... And lights and epic camera angles and like helicopters and
nice,
yeah,
cool, very cool.
All right, cool. Next question. So, was there ever a moment you doubted your path in acting, and what kept you going?
This morning.
Wow.
Tell us about it. Fresh.
I was like in class and I felt faint because of all the activity we were doing. And I was like, I shouldn't be here. My life is a mess.
Why am I here?
I don't understand my existence.
That's crazy. Yeah,
no, it was hectic. But
sure.
One thing is I'm in too deep now. Yeah. Like it's too late to turn out. I mean, I could go after uni and maybe do something with that. But it's like, why? Why have I put in all this effort to go and become an accountant? You know?
That can or, slump their shoulder in your do an accent.
Yeah, I'll just mess with all my clients.
Act like you have different personalities.
But yeah, I do regularly think about it. But I think it's just because often the path I don't think I'm more on a performer path than a director path. Every time I'm directing, I'm like, this is where I should be. Mm. This is what's happening. I'm very down with it. But sometimes when I have to perform, the energy in me just dies. And I'm like, especially if it's not a character I'm passionate about. Because sometimes the director makes a decision and you just got to do it.
Yeah.
So... yeah,
but I think
that's crazy.
I think that will help you as a director, because when you've been in the shoes of the people that you're leading or directing, it makes you lead a lot differently.
Yeah, true.
Because you almost like you understand a director once told me to do something that I didn't agree with, so that might change your style of directing where you become more collaborative, or you know, you work with the actor and try and get them to a point where they understand the decision that you've made
so
as a
very
director.
Supportive.
Yeah.
So like, you can do this. I believe in you. Go act.
Now go. His money's running out.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah. That would be big vibes. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. What are your plans after graduation, or what personal goals do you have for the future?
So this year I'm hoping to make 2 or 3 plays that will, plays, choreographed works, all that, that will hopefully take me into industry level. I'll give you a spoiler into the one play. I'm thinking of just putting this body on stage and nobody knows who this person is or how they got there. They don't talk, they don't do anything. And we kind of see them put in this middle of this town where everybody knows everybody. And we're gonna see the town grow crazy, trying to figure out what to do with this woman. So yeah, that's maybe where we'll go this year. That could be very cool. And then I'll just probably take those out, maybe work on them at the center. I also have a couple of film opportunities that will hopefully open up.
That's very cool.
And yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's one of those industries where like you could be homeless for 3 months and then a millionaire for a month and then
4 months
homeless again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Sylvester Stallone before Rocky
literally
sold his dog.
Maybe I'll just make Rocky again.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll just do Rocky featuring Tim, you know? Casually. Why not?
Why not? You know?
Yeah. I'll just be the slim version. You know, the guy who gets his ass handed to him in every movie. Literally.
Right. And how many people have watched Rocky, you know? Like, do you even know what we are talking about?
I don't
think
our generation.
Enough time has gone by to actually recreate it. And people be like, what a great idea. Wow, we would have never thought of that. Original idea.
Meantime,
it's been done before.
It's just me running in the street, getting chased by random people.
Hello.
That's crazy. Yeah, nice. Yeah. And any like personal goals, or is it just like the art? You're just like going after.
I don't know. I think, yeah, I always have some personal things. Right now, I'm just trying to lock into finance. You know, like I can't be broke the rest of my life. But yeah, trying to do some healthy, responsible saving things, put away portions of what I earn. But other than that, yeah, I think, side note, I'm just trying to get like massively close to God. That's just been my goal for this year, is I don't care how the plays and everything else goes. I was listening to this amazing sermon by Tim Keller literally 2 nights ago, and it's called The Struggle, Thy Will Be Done. And he talks about how we all accept that, like, when God says do something and we do what he wills, then we will be rewarded for that. But it's the opposite in the case for Jesus, because his thing was, if I do God's will, I will literally be crushed. Sure. I will be. So that was pretty hectic for me. So knowing that, like, Jesus went through that, I think everything will work out fine. And yeah.
Yeah.
So that's me.
So next question. Besides how to make money, what skills do you believe are essential for a successful career in stage acting?
Don't make it your main job, I think. Yeah, maybe have multiple side hustles, multiple side jobs. If you're going to make it your main job, you have to be super good at it. Yeah. And you have to be like hustling 24/7. And then you still need to put away a massive amount of like funds for those months when you're not working. I mean, if something like COVID hits again, it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think really be smart about that. And yeah, know the right people. You need to go to all the events. Something about Joburg is, if you want to make it, you have to support others. Like, people don't support you if you haven't shown up for their thing. Which, I mean, it's a strange situation, but it just makes sense. Like, it's Josie, it's the vibe here. So just go everywhere, anywhere, support all the people you can, make all the friends you can. Yeah.
Awesome.
Pretty cool. All right, last question.
Sick.
What is one piece of advice you wish someone had told you before you started your acting journey?
Can I switch that question to a piece of advice that actually saved me for my journey? So someone actually did come to me. I met up with someone who studied it. He was in our church for a long while, and then kind of met up with him. And he said, make a list before you get in of everything that you will and won't do. Oh, and mainly the won't do. Mm. So like, if you're not okay being undressed on stage, like, decide it before you get there. Because when a whole panel of directors are staring at you being like, will you do nudity? 90% of people buckle and they're like, yeah, sure. And then they feel too guilty to later change that. Or so it just helps to have. And I mean, often, obviously, like, being a believer in the industry, a lot of people have questions about, like, even profanity, other things like that. Make your decisions beforehand and then enter into it knowing exactly what you will and won't do. And it just saves you so much, like, headache, heartache, guilt. Actually, having those boundaries sets you up way better, because then people respect you, they respect your boundaries. It's not like people are easy to do everything. Like, you know, nobody really. So, yeah, that was amazing.
That's crazy. I think that was the best.
That's very, yeah.
And it's helped me multiple times already. So, yeah, shout out.
Wow.
Very, very cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
That was incredible.
No. Big vibes.
Yeah. So, we'll be back next week. Until then.
Cheers.
Probably not me.
Oh, you never know. No, Jake.